The first lesson today is Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or to the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The second lesson this morning, just one verse, reading from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. We just heard Dane read this verse from Exodus. In 6 days, God made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. These words come in the middle of the passage in the book of Exodus that contains the Ten Commandments. While speaking to Moses atop Mount Sinai, telling Moses the most important things God's people are to do and not do, we, perhaps unexpectedly, find these several verses about creation. In the midst of commands, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not make for yourself an idol, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of God, you shall not commit murder or commit adultery. You shall not steal or bear false witness against your neighbor or covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Honor your father and your mother. At the center of all these commands is this reminder. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In 6 days, God made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Now, across the generations, there has been much speculation about the purpose and meaning of the Sabbath. Rabbis and scholars have asked, why did the all-powerful God stop and rest? What did God do on the Sabbath? Of course, no one really knows, but I suspect that it was like what Tricia taught the children in last Sunday's children's message. Remember how she talked about something parents say to their children when they're teaching about how to safely cross the street? Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Interestingly, that same theme has appeared in several of the Lenten devotions various ones of us has written for our devotional this year. Stop, look, and listen. As one of you wrote, today, one thing I can do to love God and creation is to go to the park and just look and listen. And don't we know that the opposite is also true? A young woman, United Methodist high school science teacher, wrote, when it has been days since I have been outside, sat in the sun, breathed fresh air, or stared at the trees or water or hills. I feel jumbled inside. I lack a groundedness that I find when I am outside, even for 5 or 10 minutes. The sun, the air, the sights of the natural world calm my racing mind, renew my tired body, cleanse my spoiled spirit. I imagine that this is what it is to be in the presence of God. You know, maybe it's important to realize that God is showing us right there in amidst a list of pretty daunting commandments that life is not just about working and making and doing and obeying and striving and measuring up and inevitably falling short. That when we stop, look, and listen, as I believe God shows us on the Sabbath, we stop and take it all in all its magnificence and glory. God is reminding us that we and all creation are saved by beauty. It is, as one writer puts it, God's own precedent that weaves Sabbath rest and attention into the fabric of the universe. It is the glue that holds the world together. First, to love God and love creation, as we said last week, requires in us conversion. That's the stop part of stop, look, and listen. Stop. We who are increasingly distracted by the incessant pinging of our devices, we who are swept up in the pressures of relentless consumerism, we who are awash in the disorienting and dispiriting 24/7 news cycle, all of this producing in us a kind of hopeless weariness, as Walter Brueggemann has called it. May we take heed of God's own precedent. The very God who made the heaven and earth and seas and all that is therein worked for 6 days and stopped, took a step back, rested. And God looked and listened to all that had been created. God shows us how important this is, not only for our souls, but for the sake of creation itself. If asked, why do we act so foolishly? The cultural historian Thomas Berry replies, because we are blind and deaf. If we need to stop and repent for the ways we have harmed the earth or wantonly wasted this gift so freely given by God, it is surely in large part because we do not see or hear what is all around. In his book, The Dream of the Earth, Berry writes, the world of life, the world of dawn and sunset and glittering stars in the dark night heavens, the world of wind and rain, of meadow flowers and flowing streams, of hickory and oak and maple and spruce and pineland forests, the world of desert sand and prairie grasses, and within all this, the eagle and the hawk, the mockingbird and the chickadee, the deer and the wolf and the bear, the coyote, the raccoon, the whale and the seal. All this, if we but look and listen. These are modes of divine presence, Barry writes. He says, if we have a wonderful sense of the divine, it is because we live amid such awesome magnificence. If we have refinement of emotion and sensitivity, it is because of the delicacy, the fragrance and indescribable beauty of song and music and rhythmic movement in the world around us. If we have powers of imagination, these are activated by the magic display of color and sound, of form and movement, such as we observe in the clouds of the sky, the trees and bushes and flowers, the waters and the wind, the singing birds, the movement of the great blue whale through the sea. If we have words with which to speak and think and commune, words for the inner experience of the divine, words for the intimacies of life. If we have words for telling stories to our children, words with which we can sing, it is again because of the impressions we have received from the variety of creation around us. Today we are privileged to gather again around the table of the Lord, where by his gifts to us, the fruit of the vine and the grain of the earth become for us the gift of life. Amidst the busyness of our lives, the sacrament itself calls us to stop, look, and listen. For here, where we eat this bread and drink from this cup, is where, as an early church father proclaimed, here is where Christ's voice is in our ears, his brightness in our eyes, in his compassion. The whole of Christ has been mingled in with the whole of us. And this is why, in the church of 4th century Jerusalem, the celebration of the Eucharist, including anointing with oil the eyes, the ears, and the hands. Here Christ himself invites us to stop, look, and listen. Seeing with the eyes of Christ, hearing with the ears of Christ. The sacrament itself opens us to experiencing the whole created world as filled with the Spirit of God, the whole creation revealing to us the presence and the beauty of God. This is God's cure for that hopeless weariness that can invade our souls and cause us to stray from the way of Jesus. And here is fundamental hope that the future can surpass the present. Here, in the words of John Wesley, is a holy dissatisfaction aroused with regard to the present state of affairs. Here is the cross transformed from endings into new beginnings. Thanks be to God. Amen.